I was supposed to tell this story about how Kane had this girlfriend that he killed in a car crash. And it was just insane. And it ends up, I'm at a funeral home with a dummy in a coffin.
Oh, my God.
With Kane's mask on, pretending I'm Kane. I'm on top of the coffin having mock sex with this mannequin.
Oh, my God, no. And Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah. And Vince is yelling at me, God damn it, do it harder, make more noise and stuff. It's got to be over the top.
I really did. I screwed your brains out.
I did very well in the Midwest regional over here where I went 6-for-6, but it was just pretty much straight chalk. Yeah, I did okay there.
Yeah.
And then they fucked me over there. Who was that? Oh, that's the big Kentucky upset. Oakland ruining everybody.
Oh, yeah. Did you get that one?
No. No. I did not.
See, that's the thing, man. That's the thing about this tournament. It's like, you know, there are going to be some teams like that, some 12, 13, 14, 15, 11. Somebody is going to make a run. You just got to figure out who the hell it is. That's the game. It's that not is, who the champ is.
It's just who. Well, see, that's what they've said all along, and I've been listening to a lot of sports podcasts. They're like, the football playoffs is all about the blue bloods and the strong programs, your Alabamas, your Georgias, your Clemsons, your Ohio States, your Michigans, whatever.
Yes.
The NCAA tournament is all about the Cinderellas. I never saw that coming. I can't believe that shit. That's what this tournament is all about.
Yes. And it's – I don't know, man. It just never ceases to amaze me every year, man. I just get amazed at this, something that happens or several things that happen in this tournament. I just love it. But you know what? The antithesis of that for me is I'm kind of getting soured on the conference tournaments, if that makes any sense at all.
No, it does. But look at what we just saw in the ACC in that conference tournament. Holy, how could you – all the jaded should have been taken away from you with that.
Well, that's what I was leading to. I was like – I was watching this tournament going, I just don't care about this ACC tournament. And here comes State saying, okay, Bryant, watch this.
Have you honestly – I'll be honest. As a Carolina fan, I've probably never had a better time watching Carolina lose a basketball game.
Oh, no, it didn't bother me a bit, man. It didn't bother me a bit.
It really wasn't the end of the season. It wasn't going to be, you know, it wasn't going to affect. They were still going to get the one seed.
Right.
I was happy for the State fans because it's been 37 freaking years.
Exactly.
I was at PNC Arena. I was watching, you know, I was at a concert on Tuesday, and I'm looking up at the banners. Like, it was the 74 championship. There's the 83. Well, they got another one coming. They'll have another one hanging up there. Yeah. Here he goes. I mean – you are listening to the Katie Vickers Alive Wrestling Podcast. We talk about wrestling and the stuff that wrestling fans are talking about. Hi.
Pretty hot topic these days.
Oh, we're on the same page, by the way, with the Shohei Ohtani story, aren't we?
As far as him being having some hand in the cookie jar kind of thing.
He's gambling, and this guy, this interpreter guy, is just a fall guy.
Yeah, man. I mean, is it not so obvious? Is it not so obvious?
The worst possible. They have a story. They approach him, and there's some guys. We're talking about this because one of the guys that wrote the story for the LA Times was on the Brad. He used to be a Brad and Britt guest.
Gustavo
Arellano. We had him on a few times. Gustavo Arellano is a hilarious columnist mostly, but now he's a journalist too. And he had a column that ran in some independent newspapers, like a few hundred independent newspapers, called Ask a Mexican. It was very funny. It was very tongue in cheek.
Sounds funny.
But it was very good. And Gustavo happens to be – I actually got on the air with him on the Tom Likas show one time. Tom Likas
was alive.
Yeah, because it was right after El Hijo de Perro Aguayo died down in Tijuana. And I was asking him about that because he knows a little bit about that stuff. And so, you know, the original the original story was the LA Times guys, they approached the team and they go, well – we've got these slips and there's this money that's transferred to this guy who's a bookie. And what's the deal? So the interpreter gives an interview, goes, yeah, it's him paying off gambling debts. And then immediately goes, oh no, I stole stuff and I'm fired.
I'm sorry. Something's in my throat. What did I just say?
That'd be great. Yes, I completely sexually assaulted her. Am I guilty? I mean, that never happened, and she's a liar. You can always bring it back to wrestling. Yeah, that's what happened. So, God. It's, you know, baseball for the first time in decades has had, you know, they've got a genuine international superstar. He's not as big as,
yeah.
You know, he's not as huge as Lewis Hamilton, the F1 driver, or you know, Messi, or some of these soccer players, but he's a legitimate worldwide superstar. And now they're going to have to lie so that he's not suspended from the game.
Yeah. And here are the Dodgers. They're like, you know, this is what's going on. Are you going to do any investigation on Shohei Ohtani?
No, we're good. We got our fall guy.
Play ball. Let's go.
we got our scapegoat. Why should we go any further? We're good. And this case closed, like brother. Because it's like, well, since you stole this money from him, you're probably going to have to go to jail. Oh, shit. How far am I going to take this?
I didn't realize I was going to be going Ohtani, this far here.
Legitimately, Shohei Ohtani is legitimately a billion-dollar industry. I mean, he's a man who's legitimately a billion-dollar industry. One of the greatest players in the history of baseball. There's no question about it. I'm not saying he's a Hall of Famer right now, but if he continues on this path for another 5 years the way he's been going, he's a Hall of Famer. First ballot, no question, full stop, end story, right?
Oh, yeah, I mean, come on. It's a no-brainer.
No-brainer. As far as, you know, being able to pitch as well as he had, there's only, you know, Babe Ruth is the only guy in history who's been able to pitch and hit as well as this guy has, and I think
Not some dude that comes in off the bench on the 182nd game of the season to throw the ninth inning. No, we're not. That's not what we're talking about.
And so the guy's going to have to go to jail, and it's like, well, all right, if you just shut up, I guess I'll give you like $50 million when you get out of jail. If that's what happens, and then they'll, you know, when the guy puts his plea in. He's going to be like, no, nobody promised me anything. What are you talking about? I stole money from him, and I got to go to jail now.
That's it.
That's the end of the story.
No big deal. No big deal.
Ronda Rousey.
What do you got for me?
It's so weird. You just got out of jail, and you just bought this mansion. How did that? I don't know.
It's amazing.
I had some stuff in the market that did really well. I was on S&P index. Boy, if you follow that S&P index, you're going to be golden. It's the best.
I occasionally, but I really don't on a regular basis at all.
Yeah, I'm not a great investor or anything, but I just go with the S&P index because it's 503 stocks and it's very diversified and it goes up and it goes down. And, you know, I think last year it was up 28-29%. And you just follow that thing for a few decades and you're good. That's my investing advice to you.
Okay, a few decades. Well, I should have talked with you a few years ago then.
Yeah, might have been a good
few thing. Decades won't do me much good now, brother.
That guy that we worked for who was like the cheapest owner in the history of broadcasting.
I remember him.
He offered us zero match on our 401k.
You're kidding.
It's zero match. And then like 2009, they come in for our benefits meeting. Oh, your insurance is going to be this. And this is, you know, that kind of shit.
Yeah.
And they go, well, we almost had him talked into a 401k match, but then that big financial crisis hit. And I went, bitch, why did you say that? Just keep it to yourself. I felt like Ricky Steamboat when we told him about that.
Jim I was Crockett getting ready to say the same thing. Same thing.
I didn't need to know that you're selling a shit ton of those posters and I'm getting fuck all from it.
Thanks, Jim.
Ronda Rousey has a scathing attack on Vincent Kennedy McMahon. Rousey will just not keep her mouth shut, Brian.
I don't think she's just a typical, to me, a typical thin-skinned MMA fighter.
Do you believe that, like, you can believe both things, that she's telling the truth about Vince McMahon and that she also is doing this in a very self-serving way?
Yes, absolutely. I think you can do absolutely. We ran into this the same exact way. Thank you.
Yeah, I think you can. Those are not competing ideas. I think those are both ideologically consistent. Like, you can believe that, you know, maybe Filipowski shouldn't have gotten run over the court, and also believe that maybe he was playing it up a little bit.
Just saying.
Yeah, those are two things that you can independently believe and not be hypocritical or have competing ideals. Rousey, who was signed full-time with WWE between 2017 and 2023, criticized McMahon and the company for its historically poor treatment of women in her new autobiography. Oh, she's selling a book.
Oh, really? Okay.
Our Fight. Now, that's, see, I have a subscription to Audible. That may be one that I listen to, because I do find her interesting. Well,
that's a great song by Madness.
Is it really? Our Fight in the middle of our street. Was that a ska band? Were they a ska band?
I think they were considered ska, yes.
I think they were a ska band.
Yes. I think they were in the ska section at Record Bar. I believe you're right.
How about that? The former UFC champion and multi-time WWE title holder compared McMahon's grip on the WWE to the sinister Emperor Palpatine's tyranny in the Star Wars franchise. Well, there you go. Hmm. It's hard sometimes to know where the evil, unethical, slimeball character of Vince McMahon played out for the camera ends and the actual questionably ethical, many times sued and multiple times accused of sexual misconduct, Vince McMahon begins. Rousey wrote that in an excerpt of her book published by Inside the Ropes ahead of its April 4th release. Rousey criticized the company's history of holding bra and panties matches in which a winner was declared by stripping her opponent down to her underwear. The last bra and panties match took place on a 2007 episode of WWE Raw. Let's pause the story there for just a moment.
Yes.
What exploitative female WWE segment or match made you cringe the most, Brian? Which one would you say was the one that made you cringe the most?
I'm going to have to go with segment. I mean, there's a good God. There's so much to choose from. I'm just going to say that. There's so much to choose from. But the thing that sticks out to me, and I think it's because it was the thing that I saw not too long ago for, I can't remember what it was on, was the Trish Stratus thing.
Stratisfaction, where she was.
In the middle of the, well, I said thing. There's probably a million of those. But yeah. It's the one when they're in the middle of the ring, her and Vince, and it looks like she's getting ready to do him a favor.
Oh, yeah. I do remember that.
I don't remember the whole storyline thing, but it was just the whole image thing. More.
Here's what we're going to do is you're going to blow me. It's going to be great. It's good for business. Get down there and blow me. Blow me!
Live on Raw? Really?
I will say.
That was Trish Stratus with a deep voice.
I will say HLA, Hot Lesbian Action. That one is a
okay. Well. Yeah. See, there's some yes.
Edge and Lita having sex in the middle of
yes. That arguably could overtake what I just said if I think about it real hard.
There was a mud wrestling and that one was cringe. And
I want to say that was Trish and Lita or Stacy and
yeah.
Somebody. I don't remember. Yeah, I do remember it though.
And then there was maybe a pudding one as well, which was extremely similar.
Pudding?
Yeah, I think they wrestled in pudding or something. I want to say.
Remember who liked pudding?
No, who liked pudding?
You remember.
Oh, you want to talk about the Bill Cosby with the pudding? Please.
Love pudding.
I'm a big fan of the Jell-O pudding pop, please.
Hey, confession. I still can't think of pudding and not think of Bill Cosby. I'm just saying. It's just like that.
There's this one where they start off either SmackDown. I think it's SmackDown. They start off, and it's just a shot, a close-up shot of Stephanie's ass, and then she kind of raises up, and they go, "Oh," she goes, "Now that I have your attention, blah blah blah." It's like. That one is always a little.
Yet another specific one I've forgotten about.
And then there's like the one where she tells, like Stephanie tells her father that he whored her out to her business partners and stuff like that. Do you remember that?
Kinda. Yeah. I want to say yes. I want to say yes, but I don't remember anything about it.
At some point, you're thinking the storyline wise, like, yeah. I mean, things are going pretty well for events, but in order to get this.
Kind of got a Dan Schneider vibe going here.
You're right. Oh my God. Yes. And Dan Schneider may not be the worst owner we ever ever had encountered when you think about Vince McMahon and put him into the, oh, the mix there, right?
Oh, oh, no, I'm talking about Dan Schneider from Nickelodeon.
That guy. Oh, that guy. Yeah, that stuff's going out now, right?
Yeah. How it was kind of out in everybody's face the whole time, and they're showing these different scenes, like the previews I've seen, they're showing these different, you know, sexually like, how did we not pick up on that kind of scenes? You know,
oh, it's super
with one with Ariana Grande and a potato. Oh my God, dude.
Well, you can't do that on television.
Well, hey, I see what you did.
I see what you did there. And kudos to Viacom, now Paramount, for both making money off of the shows while they aired and now making money off of the expose by running that stuff. So
playing both ends, man.
Coming and going. So those, yeah, there was, she said something like, you made me do those things with those men, your business partners or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're thinking storyline wise, like, I know you want to make this deal with me, Slim Jim guys. Here's the closer. You can fuck my daughter. How about that? Fuck my daughter. And then one guy goes, I'd rather have your son. Okay. Gentlemen.
Whatever.
Here comes the asshole. Asshole, 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 asshole. He does like the shuffle, but it's backwards. Go ahead, let that happen.
Oh, I don't want to start making jokes, man. You got me saying that. It's like I want to take it a step further, but I'm not going to. I'm going to refrain.
That's right. The last bra and panties match took place on a 2007 episode of WWE Raw.
Back when I'm surprised it was that soon ago. I was going to say the 90s.
That seems like an awful long time ago.
I guess 17 years ago, but it's still, I was like, I didn't even think it was going to be that late in the 2000s, I guess is what I meant.
Even after the gimmick was retired by WWE executives, I'm sure very reluctantly and with a lot of lamenting about political correctness, it was still very clear that the organization placed more value on a woman's physical appearance than her physical ability, she writes. See, that's one of the things, like if they said to Vince, all right, we're going to go ahead and take the company public. It's going to make you a billionaire, but we're not going to be able to have bra and panties matches. God damn it, we're keeping it private. There's no way we're going to go public. Women are featured far more prominently in today's WWE and in a manner more closely reflecting their male counterparts. Rousey, Becky Lynch, and Charlotte Flair were the first women to headline WrestleMania in 2019. Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair main evented night one of WrestleMania 37 2 years later, marking the first time two black superstars top billed the annual showcase. The company has come a long way from its bra and panties days, but Rousey credits fan feedback for the company's culture shift. It was only after WWE was basically armbarred into it following a global social media backlash to hashtag give divas a chance. After divas were given a total of 30 seconds, less time than it takes for most people to read this paragraph for a nationally televised tag match, Rousey writes. Four women were given less time to collectively wrestle than every single man on the roster got for his intro music alone. Presented this information as a person outside of the wrestling world, you might draw the conclusion that there is a troubling foundational sexist patriarchal culture within the WWE. You would be right. I have nothing but respect for the female wrestlers who paved the way for women wrestlers again, and nothing but disgust for the amount of sexist, degrading bullshit they were put through. That's the end of the story. And I will pause again to posit this, and I briefly mentioned this to you during our failed attempt last night to record this podcast. Brian Last is now openly saying that within 3 years, the WWE will induct Dixie Carter into its Hall of Fame.
Okay, I'll react just like I did last night. The hell? What?
I think it would be, and what he is saying, it is an effort for them to perfume the shitty smell from all of the Vince accusations. Like, we don't hate women. Look, we have this woman who didn't even work for us, and now we're putting her in the Hall of Fame. Look at us. Look how great we are.
They really think that's going to justify things?
You don't know.
Dixie Carter?
Yeah. And of course, Jimmy pulls out the really big card saying, well, if you want like the most important and the most successful female performer of all time, there's a guy named Jeff Jarrett. It's your Hall of Fame. His grandmother actually was pretty good. I don't know if you heard of her, but she actually did really well for a couple of years. But then Jimmy also said, I don't know if the family would take it because Teenie would probably be a just... she would be rolling over, spinning in her grave like a dreidel at the thought of, thank you. Thank you. It's a nice Yiddish reference.
It was.
At the thought of being part of the WWE Hall of Fame. So maybe not her per se. But
I just don't understand Dixie Carter of all people. I just don't.
We need a woman. We need a woman who's an executive, a woman who we never put in a bra and panties match. We need a woman whose ass we never showed on television. All she ever did was fuck AJ Styles on camera.
So there is some sort of weird connection there.
By the way, if they do put her in, AJ Styles with the induction speech.
Never.
I know we had an affair, Dixie. I know. I know I banged you in a hotel, Dixie.
Meanwhile, AJ's wife's back home with the kids going, what did he just say? What?
What is your... I hate to even ask. What was your favorite TNA storyline of all time? Because that one's up there as far as like bullshit Lord, that never could have happened and stuff like that. I love that.
Yeah.
I do love that one.
That was good. There were some good ones back in the day, man. There really was.
I have two words for you. The Dup Cup.
The Dup Cup. See, man. I forgot about the Dup Cup.
If you had an alien come down from Mars and go, what is this Vince Russo guy? How can I be introduced to him? You would probably show him the Dup Cup.
Probably.
This is your probably. Boy.
You'd have to, really. I don't think about it. I mean, that is TNA, man.
It is.
I don't know. I was kind of sucked into the main event mafia a little bit. I just thought it was kind of cool the way they set that up.
Yeah.
With those guys. Because they were some, you know, pretty standout figures in that bunch. So I like them. I don't know, man. I really have to think about that. There's probably several that one really kind of just stands out.
I think you would enjoy the Jeff Jarrett podcast, My World, because he gets into some pretty good
deep
dives on some of the old TNA stuff all the way from the Asylum until, you know, when he left the company and everything and he got sober and stuff like that. It's very good. They go into some very, it's pretty eye opening. Sometimes I think he pulls short of some stuff because I think there are times when I think he should go off on Vince Russo and he does not.
That's weird.
Yeah, because I think he's kind of alluded to it that like when the Carters took over and everything, they told him some shit that Vince Russo had been talking about Jeff Jarrett, and he found out about it. So, but he's been.
I'll be honest. I kind of forget about his podcast.
Oh, it's good.
I'm gonna have to start listening a little bit then.
I was talking about this with somebody because, you know, of course, Toby Keith passed away recently and Toby Keith was involved with TNA. He canceled an appearance at the White House one time because he'd already been booked for TNA and he had to tell George W. Bush, I can't go do the boot up your ass song. I've got to go over here and fake fight. But I'll be happy to another day. Just pick another day. I'll be happy to go up there and do the boot up your ass song. It'll be great.
And if I'm not mistaken, I'm sure there was one.
Yeah, the Angry American was the name of the song, and they were able to. But and they also tried at one point in time. Toby was interested in buying the promotion, and the Carters completely fucked it up. They didn't take him seriously as a businessman, and they wanted to waste his time. And Toby, in about 5 seconds, saw through it and went, "I'll see you guys. I'm gonna head to the golf course." That's almost literally what happened.
Didn't take him seriously as a businessman, huh?
One of the smartest businessmen in the history of country music.
Golly, man. They underestimated that dude. I'll say that.
All these dudes now that are coming up with their own bars, like your Blake Shelton's and Garth and all these people, he had his own bar a long time before those guys did.
Yeah, he was.
That guy was a very smart businessman. He had lived some life and he knew what was up.
And who was the big country bar guy before that? Who was the country artist that was known for his big bar before Toby Keith, like back in the 80s?
Well, Mickey Gilly had a huge, allegedly largest bar in the universe, but Buck Owens also in Bakersfield had a huge place, the Crystal Palace.
Okay. And I was thinking of Mickey Gilly though.
And Buck Owens, one of the smartest businessmen in the history of country music as well. Buck Owens, it was well known, was getting $3, $4, $5 per guitar from the fucking Sears catalog for those red, white, and blue guitars back in the 70s, back when Sears Roebuck catalog was Amazon before Amazon was Amazon. That's how smart that guy was. And I think they were giving him about $500,000 a year to go work 4 weeks, 4 weeks a year to go up to Opryland and record Hee Haw. And he kept like wanting to do it because he knew it was going to ruin his like image and everything, but they just kept like throwing money at him. He's like, fuck it, I'll have to go. It's fine.
Yeah, he only did it for like what, 40 years or
Buck
something?
Buck Owens. Like. Buck Owens, now that I'm on a rant, he brought country music to Carnegie Hall way before anybody ever thought that would be a possibility. Way before that was a possibility. I urge you to go on Spotify or your favorite music streaming service and you listen to Buck Owens and the Buckaroos live from Carnegie Hall. They have to do like 3 medleys just so they can get all their hits in. I mean, it's something.
They're good, man. I love Buck Owens.
Buck Owens had this guy named Don. Buck Owens had this guitar player named Don Rich. Legendary guy. Guy dies early in life from a motorcycle accident. I'm telling you, if this guy hadn't passed away and had that motorcycle accident and died, he'd be up there considered one of the great guitarists of the 70s, right up there with your Glenn Campbells and such. He would have been right up there with
him. Don't doubt it.
Because he could. That guy was crazy. He was crazy. Some good news now.
Yeah.
Former WWE star Maryse Mizanin now saying she is tumor-free after receiving a rare pre-cancer diagnosis and undergoing a total hysterectomy.
Wow.
Post on Instagram today, Maryse revealed that her hysterectomy was successful, as was the staging of the lymph nodes in her abdomen, and that her primary peritoneal serous borderline tumors had not spread to the nodes or other part of her body. There you go.
Maryse, yeah, that's again, good noted. News, man.
It is. Maryse again noted the rarity of receiving such a diagnosis, mentioning that only 7 cases per million women in the United States are found each year. She also posted the next steps in her recovery, which include following up with specialists in Houston at the MD Anderson Cancer Center. So there is some much needed good news
from the world of wrestling. Didn't sound good, man. I'll be honest. Anytime you hear the cancer word on anybody, you just kind of go, uh-oh. But that is good news.
Are you, speaking of Brian Last and of Jimmy Cornette, as we were, are you of the opinion now that when you see Chris Jericho, he's getting go away heat from that crowd, from that audience?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I was watching the, I recorded Dynamite, and I was watching it earlier today. And I was watching the match with Hook and his entrance when he came out. I paid close attention to that. And I didn't hear hard. I heard tons of boos. And we're talking Toronto. Is that where they were? Ontario City? Where were they?
Yeah.
I mean, Canada.
They were in Canada.
Toronto. Yeah. So they were heavily booing him. I thought, unless I was hearing things. He certainly wasn't getting any kind of hoorays. And I tell you what, I noticed, you know, they played his Lionheart music. They didn't play that damn Fozzy song.
That's right. No, they,
and I think that song is what gets him any Judas kind of tears.
I mean, that was what was over.
Oh yes.
Judas is what got him over. And once he doesn't have that, he's done. Yeah. No, it's funny. What do you, do you think this all goes back to the CM Punk stuff?
I think some of it
wonder
does.
This. I'm always suspect, and that's why I was very confused when we went to go see WWE Revolution at the Greensboro Coliseum, and the Bucks were not getting a good reaction, and Hangman wasn't getting a good reaction, and now Jericho's not getting a good reaction, and I'm always so wary of this when people actually agree with me on that. Because it's just the natural course of things that people don't agree with me. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah. Well, here's I've got 2 things to say about that. Why I say I don't think it has to do with. Well, I don't think it has everything to do with Jericho with Punk. I think it has maybe something to do with it. I think maybe when that happened, that whole Jericho Punk thing kind of came out and all back. Whenever it was, I think that kind of put Jericho out in the red flag land. Hello, Jericho. We're going, you know, stick you over here a little bit. Just kind of keep an eye on your ass. And then the next thing you know, it's the whole you know, SA allegations, and everybody's like, okay, yeah, done, fine, you know, whatever. All right, we're done with you. And I think, and two, man, you may agree with me on this. You tell me. I think people were kind of getting a little meh on Jericho anyway. I mean, before the Punk thing and everything, he wouldn't, you know, he wouldn't take a break or anything. People were just kind of getting tired of him, kind of thing. The go away heat, like you just said.
I agree with all of that. I also wonder if we have all these disciplinary panels, why something hasn't been done about those accusations against him. I thought we had several panels that were looking into behavioral issues and could take action.
Yeah.
Odd. Strange.
Well, here's my second thing on that whole thing, and why I don't think it's fully a Punk thing with Jericho, is the fact that people aren't souring on Danielson. However, you know, knowing what his meaning, what knowing people knowing fans knowing what his role was in that disciplinary panel that you're talking about, kind of thing. And I say that, but I also have noticed that the reaction for him hasn't been quite as hot lately, maybe because he's just not been boosted up on the upper level as far as booking lately. I don't know if it has to do with that, but I've just noticed his reaction isn't nearly as hot as it was maybe 6, 8, 10 months ago.
Again, I compare it to this, because when the Golden State Warriors had that situation where Draymond Green assaulted Jordan Poole.
Yeah.
And there were a bunch of us that go, that's not okay. He shouldn't be doing that. And we were immediately told, oh, you don't understand how locker rooms work. You don't get it. That happens sometimes. It's just a family thing. That's just how they work out things. Michael Jordan hit Steve Kerr. By the way, he did. And he immediately apologized and said it was one of the worst moments of his life. Never mind. The story then became, hey, who let that video out, man? We're a family. You shouldn't have that video out there of Draymond assaulting Jordan. You've betrayed the family. And so they go throughout the entire season and they go, you still understand. You don't get what's going on here. You don't understand what this team's all about. You guys are a bunch of pussies. And I kind of go, well, okay, sure. And then when the season's over and they don't win the championship, immediately they go, you know, that whole thing with Draymond assaulting Jordan Poole, it kind of fucked up our season. So I feel like this is parallel to that, because at the time you and I were like, that's not cool what you guys did to Punk. That's fucked up. And all the AEW faithful were like, ah, fuck that guy. He's locker room poison. Boo, we hate him. Boo, fuck Phil, boo. And now they're kind of like, hey, I don't really like what these guys did to CM Punk. It's not cool. And we kind of wish we had Punk back. And why did they hand Punk over to the WWE?
Oh, well. That's how I feel too. But it just kills me that I don't think I'm biased on this. I just think it's common sense, really, but there's just all these AEW bootlickers out there that just won't give in, and just anti-Punk bootlickers, and combine the two, and it's just, oh, you just can't get up. They just won't have it, man. They just won't have it. The fact that Punk was right.
I'm not carrying water for WWE. Clearly, we criticized WWE a lot, especially when they fucked up booking Cody at WrestleMania 2 years in a row. 2 straight years they fucked it up, and now we're going to get some lame ass tag team thing. But there's a lot of good stuff going on in WWE, and we talk about that as well. I want to like AEW. Here's what's happening right now, as far as I'm concerned about AEW, is like the fans are not happy. They're kind of grumbling and stuff. And it's like, hey, everybody, here's Okada. And then, oh, man, okay, that's cool. I like it again. And then you kind of go, I don't know. I'm kind of grumbly again. Hey, everybody, here's Mercedes Moné. Oh, man, that's cool. That's fantastic. Put a Band-Aid on that again. That is awesome. And then grumble, grumble, grumble. Hey, everybody, Zack Sabre Jr. It's like, how many dudes can you roll out, right?
And apparently it's not working.
It's not.
I mean, I'm sorry. I enjoy all three of them. There's nothing wrong with them. But, you know, you put them in a situation like AEW, and I'm sorry. You put them in a situation. I said it. They put them in a situation like AEW's in right now, with people knowing stuff that's going on, the the Wild West booking that still looks like that's happening. I talked to our friend Colton about this, I don't want to debate him because I know he loves AEW.
Much more of a quote unquote mark for AEW, and I'm not hating on him for that. That's fine. If he wants to be a fan of it, that's fine.
Right. And I agree. And I totally get that, man. And I'm with him on a lot of some of the wrestlers, man. I really am, that he likes, and some of the things he tells me about AEW. I'm like, yeah, that is cool. But I'll also say he's the first one to call them out on shit. He's constantly calling them out on shit. So he's very down the middle with as far as that goes, I think. But I think he's like us. I think he wants to like AEW because of the people they're getting in. But I'm sorry. I think they're hot-shotting some of these matches.
Yeah.
Like bringing in
Okada.
No.
Shibata.
No, goddamn. We throw so many names out, man. My mind is just
stop me when I get to the Japanese wrestler they're bringing.
No, it's the British dude, man. Goddamn.
Oh, Will Ospreay.
Thank you. I kept wanting to say Zack Sabre for
who had, by the way, tremendous debut at Revolution. Unbelievable match.
Exactly. That's my point. He debuts against Takeshita. Who's going to top Takeshita to wrestle him?
Yeah.
Okada? Is that what they're building up to, him and Okada?
I'm not sure what they're doing. I mean, it's... They do things. First of all, the faction thing has gotten completely out of control.
Well, that's a whole different thing. But I mean, don't you agree about the hot shotting? I can sit here and think. I can sit here and come up with some other ones too.
Yeah, no. He's the king of he's the king of the hot shots. Tony Khan is the king of the hot shots. And it bothers me. Like, they will tell you, oh no, we're doing intricate storytelling. And then all of a sudden they'll just throw two people there in a cold match and they'll go, no. We just like wrestling. We just want to have good wrestling. which do you want? Because you throw enough of these cold matches in there with no storytelling whatsoever, and it drives you crazy. I think right now the promotion is suffering a lot without having MJF.
I think it is hurting for sure. I don't know if he can. I don't know if he can come back and just put it back to where it was at one point. I don't think that's a one-man job.
As much as I love Max and as talented as I think Max is, at some point in time, maybe the magic runs out on him. I don't know. He can't continue he might continue to trip over some bad booking. I want to see them do well. I want to see the guys that I like get pushed. I want to see Ricky Starks do well. And I'm reading a story here from a couple of weeks ago about Ricky Starks maybe going to WWE, which would be unbelievable. But then I also have my reservations about them booking Ricky Starks worth of shit. There's so much stuff about AEW that just drives me nuts because they do so much unnecessary stuff. It's if they just did a few good things and pushed a few good people, they would be able to have like a tremendous promotion that everybody would want to watch. And I thought they did a good job on Dynamite. I did not see the Rampage that immediately followed.
No, I didn't either.
Well, that's a lot for that audience to have to be asked of, to sit through 4 hours. Of course, we sat through 4 hours. So,
And that's the usual thing, too. They just usually tape Rampage instead of going live with it. So,
right. Well, they had to because of the tournament, which is what happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
I still, let me talk about that and then get down to the business side of it. They did put the belt on Okada as far as that Continental Championship, taking it off of Eddie Kingston in that match. I don't know if anybody had one of the best wrestlers in the world, Okada, coming in this promotion and getting their sixth most important belt within the first couple of weeks of him signing. I don't know if anybody had that on their bingo card, but okay.
Well, he needed that belt, man.
Yeah, it does give him some credibility now.
I believe in him now.
But
he is the rainmaker now.
See, Edge and Christian had a great match, and there was a story behind it. There was passion behind it. And it made total sense for Edge to beat him, to be pronouns, pal, to beat Christian. And here's a weird thing. The babyface has actually helped out Edge in the match. It's the strangest thing.
How about that?
Weird. But as far as the business thing, you have to understand how awful this Warner Brothers Discovery company is. They're just the drizzling shits. They have no idea what they're doing. It now looks like Paramount is going to go with a venture capital group. So that merger is dead in the bed, Fred, if I may quote the Nature Boy, Ric Flair.
Woo!
And as far as them, like, oh yeah, yeah, Tony, we're gonna take care of you on this renewal. Don't you worry. No, we got you. I believe Tony is getting okey-doked like you would not believe. I believe he's being okey-doked all over the road on this. I really do. I'm sorry, but I don't see. And then when Warner Brothers Discovery shoots him down, you know, where do you go after that? It's ESPN, you know, the Disney people. It's also, it's the Paramount people who are, as we've talked about, hemorrhaging cash right now. They're not doing all that great. Fox as a company, do you put AEW on your TV network when you just had this Friday night thing that wasn't so fantastic? Although I'll be honest with you, putting that show on broadcast television to an extent makes sense to me, since broadcast television is fucking dying. There is a sense of urgency on that show, and in wrestling in particular, that you need to watch it live. And that is what television needs desperately, you know, because the only thing that people want to watch live on broadcast television are sports. That's it. Period. Full stop.
It's obviously why.
Well, you can't DVR it. You can't delay it till later. Everything else. And
back in the day, back when we used to have the Tuesday night great lineup on ABC when we were kids, yeah. Or the Friday night lineup in the 90s, you know, not really the 90s, because we had VCRs by then, but and whatnot. But back in the Happy Days days and Three's Company and all that lineup days, there was no VCR. So if you didn't catch it then, you had to wait for the repeat to come on in the summertime, basically.
And then the advent of the DVR particularly was huge in the early 2000s. You know, they had that story right after Janet Jackson's titty made that appearance at the Super Bowl. The TiVos went crazy. The orders for TiVos the next day were just through the roof. And then as the internet began to develop a lot more stuff on. Yeah. No, I'm telling you.
I believe it. I totally believe it.
And Janet Jackson's titty was also a major spur in developing YouTube. The guys that were developing YouTube wanted something that could easily share video clips. And they were like, okay, we got to work on that because people want to see this.
You mean that beat the Hindenburg crash?
In terms of 21st century media appearances or media revolutions, Janet Jackson's titty it really started a lot. It started a revolution.
Oh, yes. Yes. That is a Saturday Night Live skit right there. That is a an SNL skit right there.
Well, you're like a professor at some media studies or something.
No,
what are the great media stories of the 21st century? The most important media stories of the evolution of the internet. Janet Jackson's titty should be in the broadcasting. Janet Jackson's titty should be in the Broadcasting Hall of Fame. Is what I'm saying. Did you ever see the Woody Allen movie? What you always want to know about sex, but we're afraid to ask. Did you ever see that?
No, I never saw that.
Mm-mm. It's got a giant tit going through the countryside squirting milk.
See, that's the Saturday Night Live skit right there. That's Janet Jackson's going through the country, marching through the country, taking over. Squirting milk.
To me, that if you do AEW, and I don't know, you know, I don't know if Universal takes a gander at it. So that's the problem. Also, is that he's got so much stuff on these shows where they say shit, they curse, they bleed. If anybody ever wanted to look at it for network television, they would go, I can't do that. He's just out there. They're saying fuck and shit and all this other stuff on that show. So I continue to believe that Warner Brothers Discovery is feeding him a line. They're going to string him along as much as possible. He's not going to get the bag that he wanted. They're not eventually
going to put him. You think he's just going to be left hanging out in the wind with nothing, nowhere to go when the contract comes up?
Well, you tell me in the media landscape right now, where does that show land? I mean, Disney could put it on FX. It makes complete sense. He could maybe do business with Disney. And then put the library on Disney Plus, but that seems to me to be such a long shot.
I've got an idea. How about that station you and I were talking about? I think it was yesterday. Let's put it on True TV and bring it some life.
True TV, True TV, unfortunately, I think is part of the Warner Brothers Discovery family of networks.
We can put it on from America's Dumbest Criminals.
No, it's almost tailor-made for the CW. Honestly, it would be great on the CW, but that's going to be seen as less than. And then what do you do as far as...
Not really. I don't think so. That's network TV. I mean, people get CW without having cable.
They do.
So,
but it's don't you think that network in terms of esteem is seen behind the major networks? It's not up there with those guys.
No, I guess not, because it's not an ABC, a CBS, or Fox or whatever. But yeah, I mean, it is, you know, antenna TV material. So, I mean, it's, people can pick it up anywhere pretty much. So I would think it's, you know, and people with lower incomes, I think, watch wrestling like me. Oh, yeah. So,
well, it's at its best, it's blue collar entertainment. That's what wrestling was, and that's who it appeals to. And you know what? You can make a fuck ton of money producing blue-collar entertainment.
Of course you can.
That guy Toby Keith we were just talking about, he made a couple of dollars making some blue-collar entertainment.
I bet what's-his-face did. Michael Waltrip? Who came in and not Michael Waltrip? He did a couple shows with
Hermie Sadler. Hermie Sadler was doing it. Well, you see, you know, our buddy Tracy over there with WrestleCade, he produces those shows. You know, they're $8 and $10 and $12 tickets. He does just fine. He does very well. But I don't, you know, I think Tony's in way over his head, and I don't think he has the resources, even with his friends at the Jacksonville Jaguars, to negotiate stuff with the media and things like that. And I just feel like these guys are playing him. These are some evil motherfuckers over at Warner Brothers Discovery. They should kiss Greta Gerwig's ass for that Barbie movie last year. They absolutely was a complete winner for them. It saved their asses. It's not going to save the company because they're still dying. They
bought them a few extra hours.
Oh, there will be a Barbie 2 and a Barbie 3. Don't you worry about it.
They're going to milk the shit out of that. Come on, man. You know that. That's not even a question.
There ain't never been a billion-dollar movie that hadn't had a sequel. I'll tell you what else. Maybe Titanic, but, you know, Titanic 2 wasn't really going to work.
Well, I don't think there was an Apollo 13 Part 2 either. So,
just when you thought it was safe to go back in the water. Jack just won't die. Ricky Starks hasn't been around AEW television for a minute. He says he hasn't wrestled, and he hasn't wrestled either. The fact is he's not booked for AEW Revolution. Questions about the contract status are everywhere. It seems that any reports about Starks being a free agent is jumping the gun. Absolute is still all elite, according to Sean Ross Sapp of Fightful. AEW Revolution, they've been talking about that back when it was happening. On March the 2nd, internet rumors surfaced suggesting that Ricky Starks was a free agent and his AEW deal had expired. Sean Ross Sapp was able to kill that rumor. Additionally, sources close to Ricky Starks confirmed his contract remains intact. He is still with the company, so Ricky isn't leaving Tony Khan's company just yet. Starks has not competed in AEW since he and Big Bill lost the AEW tag team titles to Sting and Darby Allin. Details regarding his absence or the duration of his contract remain undisclosed. Nevertheless, as of now, he's part of the AEW roster. We will also admit, or we'll also point out, that David Meltzer and Brian Alvarez were pointing out that apparently the reason you're not seeing Jungle Jack Perry on television, at least on AEW, is because, well, Tony's kind of pissed at him because he cost him CM Punk.
It is funny. That is funny.
I'll give him a little bit of the reaction to Punk. It was the reaction to Punk. That's what killed those. Those guys couldn't handle that he was a bigger star than him, and that the guy had standards. They couldn't handle the fact that there were people backstage that loved him and that he treated them right. And they just couldn't. It flew, as we say in the South, that flew all over them. But you were about to give Tony Khan some credit?
No, I mean, just a little bit. Just enough to, I guess, enough credit for him to say, you fucked up, basically, to Jack Perry. But that still doesn't justify the whole I was in danger of my life crap. I mean, I don't think that was a little over the top. He's basically saying Jack Perry Jack Perry told him to say that. You know, you made me say that. You made me say I'm fearing for my life.
Why not turn that into a storyline? I don't understand how they don't turn that into a storyline. And the other thing is, I'll say it again. If there's video footage of backstage at London and it benefited the company and the narrative that they've told, we'd be seeing that. We would have been seeing it for 7 or 8 months now. They would have shown it nonstop on a loop to prove that CM Punk was, you know, had Tony Khan in danger of his life and he was a wild man backstage and he was completely unhinged. If they had video evidence of that, that would 100% happen. Somehow, some way, I think it's going to make its way out, like maybe in 3 or 4 years. I feel like it's going to happen.
I thought it might at first, but now I don't know why. I've just got a bad vibe for some reason.
I think it's going to be a Rorschach test too. I think it's going to be some people, some people are going to go, well, that wasn't really threatening to his life. That wasn't, I don't know what he's talking about. Listen to this. A WWE veteran didn't hold back while criticizing Cody Rhodes and his wife Brandi during his recent appearance on Busted Open. Busted Open is the Dave LaGreca show, and Bubba Ray's on there on XM satellite radio. The great Vincent James Russo seemingly is not a fan of the American Nightmare. He recently appeared on Busted Open and shared his honest opinion on Cody and Brandi Rhodes with host Dave LaGreca. See, Vince Russo is going to babyface Cody and Brandi to me right here. This is the kind of shit that's going to babyface these guys and make me a t-shirt. I'm going to get the fair.
if you weren't a fan before, Russo, you are now. Yes.
If Vince Russo looked at a pile of shit and said, that's disgusting, I'd go ahead and take a spoon and I'd start scooping it up as quick as I could. Russo claimed that Cody Rhodes and Brandi are an unlikable duo, and their reality show, Rhodes to the Top, proved that. Bro, him and his wife are the two most unlikable people on the planet. Do you own a mirror? Is there a mirror in your house, Stoner?
That is rich.
Look here, Jesus Stoner. You're the most unlikable person on the planet. If anybody saw that show, you hated those two individuals, and Cody was a babyface at the time in AEW. He has a connection with the marks, not the audience. I don't know. I would just boldly say to Mr. Russo,
he's not totally wrong. Have you seen the mark? Okay. I'm sorry. Don't kill me.
But have you seen the merch sales since he came back to WWE? I think they're pretty good.
Oh yeah. Look, I said he's not totally wrong. Yeah. Half of that duo is annoying. Okay. That's how I feel.
Well, I think if you looked at the missteps and the road that led to Cody Rhodes leaving AEW, I would say that show would be on the list. I would say Rhodes to the Top was a pretty big mistake. It didn't earn that promotion one more fan. It didn't help out Cody or Brandi in getting them over at all. And it was,
I don't know whose idea that was.
It feels like a masturbatory project because again, Cody's dad thought he should be a movie star and shit like that.
No.
That's what it feels like to me.
Maybe. It sounds like it.
WWE's young fans can't get enough of the Nightmare. He always makes it a point to spend time with the kids during WWE's weekly events and live shows. Many have dubbed Rhodes this generation's John Cena, judging his connection with the young fans. Here's another thought. Because we said this for a number of years about John Cena. It's like, go ahead and turn him heel. Of course, we also said it about Roman Reigns, and the minute they turned him heel, he got over and now makes a lot of money. We said that for...
How's your promotion doing, buddy?
Cody Rhodes, after being fucked over back-to-back WrestleManias, winning two Royal Rumbles in a row. Can you turn him heel now? Can you turn him heel now based on the premise that I'm tired of the powers that be fucking with me and yada, yada, yada. Can you do that now? And I'll say this. It's even more likely now because you won't have that Vince McMahon bullshit of, well, he's hanging out with the kids and make a wish and blah, 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 blah. He won't have to deal with all that shit now.
Well, I mean, that's why they didn't do it with Cena. So they may do that with Cody, but he does, I think, need to go heel. And I think like somewhere around the time he wins the belt would be perfect. Don't you think?
I see no downside, and I like bold moves. And I hope that Paul Levesque likes bold moves and the guys that are in charge of that company now go, yeah. I mean, I know he's doing shit with Make-A-Wish. I know he's doing shit with the kids, but let's go pedal to the metal on this shit. I think
you know what, a double turn would be kind of good, man, to see. Like, am I mistaken? Is Roman going to take time off after WrestleMania? Am I just making that up?
We keep hearing that, right?
That's what I thought. Yeah,
I don't know. I couldn't tell you. Speaking of things I don't understand, how they've not already made a movie with like Jason Momoa and him being brothers. How has that not been done yet?
I don't know, man. That's a good question.
Right?
I know, man. That's crazy.
As a producer in Hollywood goes, we do an action movie and they're brothers and then they have different personalities, get on each other's nerves and they shoot people. I mean, how does that not make like a lot of money?
I don't know, man. I don't have a comeback for that one.
Like,
I'm with you.
Women would go see that. Men would go see that. Blind people would go see that.
I mean, if people go see rock movies, they'd go see that. You know?
Oh my God. So, but you were saying about him taking time off and where were you going with that?
But yeah, that would be the perfect time to make it like a double turn. You know, when's the last time we saw a good double turn? And that would be epic, man. At the story, he finally, you know, he finally completes the story or whatever. And he, at the end of the match, he just takes a chair to Roman and just beats the shit out of him. And, you know, just something that obviously turns him heel and people kind of feel sorry for Roman. And he goes away for a while and comes back as a baby face.
Wow. That'd be pretty incredible if they could pull off a double turn like that.
Now, I don't think that'll happen, but I do think he will turn heel before the year's up. I do predict that.
Yeah. And he's probably going to do great with it.
I think so.
I think he's going to be a fantastic heel.
Do you think he wants to turn heel? Do you think that's true? Do you think he always just wants to be a perpetual baby face?
I'm 50-50 on that. I don't know if he's buying his own bullshit so much these days or if he's looking at the idea like, yeah, let's play the long game on this. I think at some, you know, logically, he's got to think at some point I got to turn heel, whether it's 2 years from now, 3 years or 5 years from now.
Don't you think Why not? I mean, don't you think that's the best thing he could do? I mean, and then in the long run, I mean, that to me, that just makes sense.
It feels like to me, and there's a storyline that's built in about him getting fucked over at WrestleMania twice in 2 years, and now he's going to exact revenge.
Yeah. I mean, it's right there.
I don't see how that goes wrong, in my opinion. Any other closing thoughts on another award-winning episode of Katie Vick is Alive Alive?
Oh, wow. No, not other than the fact that, wow, man, I can't believe we're only like 2 weeks away from WrestleMania. That's what? Did we just have freaking, what do we have at the, after the first Royal Rumble? Did we just have that?
We just had it, and then they fucked over Cody and let Roman take his spot. And then they go, no, no, we've got something great. You don't understand, Marks. We've got, oh, yeah, you get a killer tag match. Can't wait. Good job.
But that's it. I just can't believe it's that we're already here.
Thunderbolt Patterson to the WWE Hall of Fame.
I'll just say something real fast about Thunderbolt Patterson. I remember his name from the very, very, I mean, I was like maybe 6 years old, seven years old when I first heard his name. And I think he made a little comeback back when I was a teenager or something,
right?
You know, but he was one of the first ones early on when I got into wrestling. I remember.
I don't remember much about him at all, but I know he never worked for Vincent James or Vincent Kennedy McMahon. he never got a paycheck from either.
I don't know why.
I'd love to hire you. You got a wife or a daughter you could throw my way? There's a little film I want you to watch. It's called Jungle Fever. One of my favorites. Bryant is available for your social media pleasure. It's Bryce Sports on X and on Instagram. I am at Real Britt Whitmire on Instagram and also on Threads. We appreciate all your support. Till next time, fans, we'll see you ringside.
Fans, that'll do it for this week. See you next week. And until then, so long for now.